The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Real Life Real Crime Daily for Wednesday, March 21st, and I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino, and did you hear that, folks? He's back!
He's back.
With a vengeance.
Back and alive.
How you feeling, buddy?
I feel so much better. It's not a 1,000,000%, but I'm 1,000,000% better. Shitty, tough week. But y'all carried it, and I appreciate y'all, and I appreciate KJ Kelly Jennings for doing it. First time in 5 years that I missed everything, but I got to enjoy y'all. So
I'm looking at him, Jim. I'm thinking we're taking a certain risk today.
I'm thinking he came back fast because he's like, God, I got to get back.
So we were an afterthought that way as well. Hey, so
a new diet for you. I lost 10 pounds last week didn't smoke nearly as many cigarettes. didn't drink any beer.
You saved money?
What?
About the Drizzly we said?
Drizzly.com are my jam. They're my people. Best home delivery alcohol system in the world.
Yeah, I agree.
Not Norwood, Louisiana.
Woody, were you able to use your new ZocDoc service? I mean, how'd you get?
ZocDoc is the bomb. My doctor, who I found through ZocDoc, Miranda, she's fire, she's love, and took care of me because I certainly wasn't able to take care of myself. But okay. ZocDoc.com, y'all, if you're sick, you're down, you're out, you need to see somebody, a highly ranked professional, fast, go to ZocDoc.com and use code RRC.
Okay, but we can't promise every doc will be fire. I mean, I don't know how Woody Overton.
When your doc calls you at 9 o'clock at night, yeah, that's fire.
Oh, that part's fire. Okay, I got the fire.
I would hope they're all top ranked professionals. The insurances and everything. Mine worked. Just the care and the love, and it was because of ZocDoc.com.
Beautiful. Well, Woody, there's a story that's dominating the headlines.
Yep. So, y'all, I'm going to throw this one out there real quick. Just take a second, so bear with me. Former President Donald Trump has not been arrested yet. I think it's all a big political ploy, but guess what? We're not bringing you politics here on Real Life, Real Crime Daily. If he gets arrested and the world riots, certainly we'll cover it. Other than that, that's all I have to say about it.
Ditto.
So, folks, if you do care about politics,
if y'all, the death of journalism,
the death of journalism podcast with John Ziegler,
go listen to it. Listen all day long if you care about politics.
It makes you smart,
right? Makes you smart. And we're here for true crime, and I'm gonna kick off the first story. We've been talking about this story. I told you from the beginning it's gonna end up being a murder charge still, but. Nathan Millard, who was a Georgia businessman, everybody knows, came to Baton Rouge, went missing for about a week. They found him wrapped in plastic in a large piece of carpet. And Baton Rouge City said what they said, whatever, no foul play.
No foul play.
Yeah, no foul play. Well, guess what? That's bullshit. But I'm going to just touch you up on it real quick. So on Sunday, March 19th, the police actually got a warrant signed to arrest Derek Perkins, who was with Nathan Millard in hours that led up to his death. Investigators say Perkins allegedly wrapped Millard's body. I'm going to take allegedly out. Well, anyway, we'll just say allegedly. Investigators say Perkins allegedly wrapped Millard's body in a plastic in a large rug after the Georgia's businessman accidentally overdosed in a house on Laurie Burgess Avenue, which, if you're from Baton Rouge, that's a new name for the old East Washington Street. Not a great neighborhood. But Perkins rode around the Baton Rouge area with Millard's body in the trunk for 2 to 4 days until the odor got too bad, and he dumped the body on Ontario Street behind the abandoned Rhodes funeral home. Now, y'all remember they weren't releasing that location, so they have released that. But it was later located on Monday, March 6th. And according to the BRPD, Perkins was arrested on Monday, March 20th for his involvement in improperly disposing of Millard's body. According to the arrest documents, Millard and a few others reportedly sought out Perkins, a known drug dealer who goes by the name of, can you guess it, Jim Chapman?
OG drug dealer?
Nope. You got a guess?
Bunny. Bunny's a drug dealer mayor of Kingstown. Well,
this guy's name was Stanky.
Oh, he's close.
Hell yeah.
But they spell it S-T-A-N-K-A, Stanky.
What you got for me, Stanky?
Stanky. Stanky got my shit.
Stanky. Stanky got something stinky in his trunk.
So police said Millard met up with Stanky. No, I'm sorry. Police said Millard met up with a man at the Greyhound bus station where he withdrew money from the ATM. We told y'all about that. People close to the case told police that Millard and the man walked along Florida Boulevard where they met a female prostitute. I bet her name might have been Stanky, too.
It might have been. Miss Stanky.
Stanky. And then they got in touch with Derek Perkins. That's Stanky, y'all. While looking for drugs. Perkins picked him up in a light blue Toyota Camry. Police said witnesses told them there was already another woman in the car. Might have been Stanky's sister.
Yeah.
From there, the group drove to a convenience store on Nicholson Drive, which is the last place police say Millard was seen on camera. But through the course of our investigation and after interviewing people who had contact with Millard, they were actually Millard and some other individuals were out looking for drugs. That's according to BRPD. Police said Millard and Stanky eventually drove away and went to a house in South Baton Rouge on Laurie Burgess Avenue where Millard allegedly overdosed on a drug called Blue Magic. Now, I said this from the beginning, but the next part I'm about to tell you. Blue Magic, but it had some form of fentanyl in it. So they believe it was fentanyl, y'all, that he took in. Somebody might have given him some Narcan. But Stanky tried to alter the car afterward. He changed the license plates several times before. Now, how you get several license plates changed? They should have charged his ass with theft of license plates, unless he just had a collection, but whatever. He changed the license plate several times before burning it. Now, I'm pretty sure Stanky didn't have full coverage insurance, so that insurance crime wasn't a charge if he had insurance at all. But police found the burned car on Osceola Street less than a mile from Millard's body was found, according to the warrant. So there you have it. Now, I'm going to give you all this little bit of knowledge. I can assure you they're going to come out and charge somebody with the actual giving of the drugs to Millard in Louisiana. We did the first case that I know of in like 2003 here in Livingston Parish, where three young men, tragically, I say men, three young teenagers, were at a fire, a bonfire, and somebody gave them a bunch of oxys, and they all OD'd on them. We found them dead the next morning. So we charged the person who gave them the oxys with second-degree murder. And I hear that on this case, they're getting their ducks in a row get another witness to testify who actually gave the blue magic with the fentanyl in it. So there will be a second degree murder coming out of this. And we'll keep you updated on Real Life, Real Crime Daily, because this is where we talk about true crime shit.
TC.
TC.
Yes. So just when you thought it was safe to not hear the word Murdaugh.
Oh, yes. Here we go. The gift of God's song given. It's kind of like herpes.
That's right. It just keeps coming back to you. They're like the Terminator.
Not that I've ever had herpes, because I haven't.
Yeah. Not but, that you're speaking from experience. Right, right. All right. I get it.
It could be crabs, too. I'll defer to Mike's knowledge on that one.
Blue claws.
Yeah. All right. So Buster Murdaugh says he had nothing to do with Stephen Smith's 2015 hit and run death. As Smith's mother prepares to exhume his body. So the older son of former attorney and convicted murderer Alec Murdaugh is pleading to have his name omitted from news coverage of the death of a young man in 2015.
Can I interrupt real quick?
Sure.
I'm pretty sure I mowed some more beer on something because somebody took a 2-week outside bet on how long the girlfriend was going to dump him. I'm pretty sure it's been like a month and a half.
Okay, I was hoping.
The only thing that made me remind that he wants his name out of the media. Well, fuck, I guess you do.
Yeah. I was hoping you were going to forget that, Woody. Yeah. But we actually don't have proof that she's still with him in that place.
We don't have proof either way.
I mean, he's staying there, but is she there with him?
And that's a story inside a story, folks.
Okay, so I lose. All right, I'm 0-for-4 lifetime against Woody.
We'll quit it often. That's why I have drizzly.com.
So it's important to mention that Buster Murdaugh has not been connected with the death of Stephen Smith, who was 19 when his body was found on a country road in South Carolina. The discovery was made roughly 15 miles or so from the Murdaugh home and 2 to 3 miles from Smith's vehicle, which had run out of gas. These baseless rumors of my involvement with Stephen and his death are false, Buster Murdaugh said in a statement. I unequivocally deny any involvement in his death, and my heart goes out to the family. I'm requesting that the media immediately stop publishing these defamatory comments and rumors about me.
Lawsuit.
That's exactly right. And he's putting it out there so that he can say, hey, I told y'all to quit talking about it. Now, a July 8th, 2015 autopsy reported by pathologists at the University of South Carolina determined that Smith had been struck by a vehicle. It cited as evidence for that conclusion a stretched brainstem, irregular abrasions and contusions, and blood in his airways. The report also ruled out gunfire, noting the absence of projectiles or bullet fragments in the body. Non-medical investigators believe Smith's body had a defensive wound, which is a factor that may have led law enforcement to see the case as a possible homicide.
Didn't they not find any like vehicle damage sign?
That's correct. So they had really no evidence at the scene that you would look for in a crash where a pedestrian was hit. You would look for broken glass, cracked signal covers, all of those things. Kind of
my experience: you get hit by a car, there's shit on the roadway. Period.
Right.
If you're dumped, there's not.
This was a pretty remote country road, as I recall. Is that right?
Yeah, that's okay. Correct.
Probably the last place you'd want to run out of gas.
Yeah. Well, there's no debate. He ran out of gas.
Well, did he run out of gas or did somebody empty his gas tank?
No, he ran out of gas because he called his dad on the way while he was walking and said, I'm out of gas.
He definitely ran out of gas.
Okay. I'm not trying to get sued by this asshole. But whatever I watched before, they alleged that he was in some type of sexual relationship with the Murdaugh boy, right?
That is the alleged. And, you know, what the conspiracy theory, I guess, at this point is that he called Buster to come pick him up after he talked to his dad. And, I want to say they have a cell phone record where he called him, but I'm not 100% sure.
Late at night. Wasn't it late at night? That would be an official booty call.
So there was no evidence at the scene. As I continued, doctors disagreed that Smith's demise was anything other than a hit and run. The driver of the vehicle allegedly involved has never been found. Now, Murdaugh said he suffered harassment by members of the media. They followed him during road trips, parked outside his residence, and they even captured photos of him inside his Hilton Head Island home.
With or without his girlfriend?
That's
you
the
already
question.
Won. Leave it alone.
I'll have to look it up. I have tried my best to ignore these rumors about my involvement of Stephen Smith's tragic death that continue to be published as I grieve over the brutal murders of my mother and brother, Murdaugh said. He added, I love them so much and miss them terribly. Now, there was a news conference, and in that news conference, Ronnie Richter, a lawyer working the case, said in a response to a reporter's question about Murdaugh's statement that the legal team had nothing to say. We're not mentioning Buster's name one time. This is not about Buster Murdaugh. So this is about Stephen Smith. There's no reason to discuss Buster Murdaugh. There's no comment to make back to Buster Murdaugh. Richter's partner added, as we sit here today, Buster is a victim. He lost his mother, a brother, and now his father is in jail. Buster, as we know, has nothing to do with this, and whatever is mentioned, that's what investigators are going to look at. But we have no knowledge about the Murdaughs having anything to do with this right now. We're starting with a fresh set of eyes.
Well, except that we were told that they found evidence relating to Stephen Smith's death on the property, Moselle, during the murder investigation.
We were.
Yeah.
Oh. I never heard that.
Yeah, that's why they started looking at it, but they've never said what evidence they found.
You know, you sure?
I'm not sure about that, but I can tell you this. My professional opinion would be there's no such thing as this many coincidences, this many dead bodies on whatever. Certainly, I have no direct knowledge, but I'm going to tell you something. You get hit by a car where it causes that kind of trauma to the body. I mean, I've worked so many. Last year, a guy from Saudi Arabia ran over a student from Saudi Arabia, ran over a guy on the bicycle late at night when got his homie, his boy to come, he said, hey, I got my car stuck on the levee. And he takes him out there, and the guy doesn't know anything about the body. He just pulls up and sees all the shit in the road and sees the car up on the levee, the lights facing another direction. So I polygraphed him. I said, did you see a body? And he didn't. And he said, but I knew there had been an accident. Well, he hit the guy, knocked him about 30 yards in the woods. So the other thing is, if there's a body in the middle of the road, it just doesn't happen. If you get hit, you're getting knocked. And the first thing you lose, most people don't know this. What's the first thing you lose?
Your life?
Shoes.
Shoes. I've never seen somebody get hit where they didn't lose at least one shoe.
And he's lying in the middle of the road with his shoes on.
There you go.
Well.
So Woody believes absolutely this was a murder.
I have no direct knowledge, but something doesn't pass.
He was smell test. Yeah, you don't doubt he was hit.
No, I doubt he was hit. I think
you don't doubt he was murdered. You just don't know who did it necessarily.
I don't believe he was hit by a car right there in the middle of that road, and there's no signs of it.
Well, his mother wants to get to the bottom of it, obviously, and she started a GoFundMe page to raise money a couple of weeks ago to exhume the body. That stuff ain't cheap, y'all.
Yeah.
And perform an independent autopsy after questions, obviously, were being raised. Now, it's a good, you know, we're going to kind of end this story on a good point, and that is Smith said the autopsy cost about $7,000. And a medical examiner about $750 an hour.
Right.
The fundraising page in just a couple of weeks has raised $44,140, which is almost three times its original goal of $15,000.
Yeah, and you know, hearts go out to the families, all the families in this shit show. Hopefully they'll find some answers.
Amen on that.
Yeah, and you gotta go back to who the family was. This why this story garnered so much national attention is because of who the family was and their connections, et cetera. Now, this certainly predated the execution of his other son and wife and all that shit. And then throw in the housekeeper, too. You just don't have that many dead bodies in your life. This just doesn't happen.
You don't believe in coincidences.
Nope. No, it's not in a homicide investigation. No, I don't.
Yeah, and that GoFundMe's now got over $60,000 in it. And so unless she put it in Silicon Valley Bank, she's probably doing pretty well. Jeez, with
– yeah, I agree with you on that.
Just to clarify on this thing, so SLED has opened an investigation into the Stephen Smith death based upon, quote, information gathered during the course of the double murder investigation of Pawpaw and Maggie. They didn't write Pawpaw. I just did that. Of Paul and Maggie Murdaugh.
Pawpaw and Maggie.
This officer Crosby from SLED added that that this is a fresh set of eyes. So SLED opening its own investigation, and the investigation will include evidence and statements, quote, gathered during previous investigations. So whether they actually found something during the double murder investigation or otherwise, that's what led SLED to be involved.
Throw it out there if you don't know what SLED is. Basically, that's their state trooper, South Carolina's, or their major law enforcement division. All right.
Yes,
or
it is.
Or it could mean South Louisiana Educational Department.
It could mean... Okay. Slow learners eat dicks.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, right? Boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Moving forward. Let's go to Oklahoma, where the wind isn't the only thing sweeping across the plain.
Oh, my God. What are these people doing, man? Go ahead.
Lawrence Paul Anderson pleaded guilty to 3 counts of murder in the first degree. Let me tell you the story of Mr. Anderson. He's been sentenced to life in prison without parole. This was on Wednesday. For the murder of his uncle, his uncle's 4-year-old granddaughter, and a next-door neighbor woman whose heart he cut out and cooked.
Tastes like pork, I bet. I told
you. Got that right.
I don't know, the heart might be a
little different. Court documents revealed that Lawrence Paul Anderson, 44, confessed to stabbing 41-year-old Andrea Lynn Blankenship, his 67-year-old Uncle Leon Pye, and his uncle's granddaughter, Chaos Yates, to death on or about February 9th, 2021. So this is a case that is a couple years old and finally getting into the courts. This all happened in Chickasha, Oklahoma. He also admitted to injuring his aunt, Delcy Pye. Pye suffered a broken tailbone and ribs and can only see out of one eye because the other was allegedly gouged out by Anderson. A lot of eye gouging this week as well.
Houston ate it.
Okay. So according to the Oklahoman, the big paper there in Oklahoma, Blankenship was Pye's neighbor, as we said. The publication reported that Anderson confessed to killing her. He broke through her back door. He stabbed her approximately 40 times before gouging out her eye. Her eye wasn't the only thing he cut out. As long as he was stabbing her 40 times, he had easy access to some other organs. So he brought Blankenship's heart over to his aunt and uncle's house.
Nice.
There, he cooked the heart. What vegetable goes best with the heart?
I don't know, but he should put some
with potatoes.
Bunkaka seasoning on it.
He cooked the heart with potatoes to feed
potatoes
to feed his family, quote unquote, to release the demons.
Yes.
After trying to serve the heart to them, Anderson then assaulted his aunt, uncle, and their 4-year-old granddaughter.
Told you to eat that shit.
Anderson pleaded guilty to 3 counts of murder in the first degree, 1 count of assault and battery with a deadly weapon, and 1 count of maiming on Wednesday.
They left out cannibalism.
His sentencing was part of a plea deal not to seek the death penalty at the request of the victim's families. I guess the families didn't want to relive all of this crap in court and didn't care about giving them the death penalty. So it was a plea deal to life without parole.
Yeah, well, what I like most about cooking is the smell. Now I'm wondering what a heart smells like when it's cooking.
Well, here's maybe the worst part of this whole thing is that it was all a mistake. The murders happened after Anderson was released early from prison in a January 2021 mistake. Again, according to the Oklahoman, Anderson was freed months after Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt commuted his prison sentence. But a grand jury investigation confirmed that Anderson was ineligible to have his sentence commuted. So how the hell does that happen?
I don't know. But, I mean, I just don't get it. That, I mean, that one might take the cake. Heart, I guess he sliced
well,
it
and
up.
Is anyone yeah. surviving to sue? I mean,
I don't know. Maybe the four-year-old. I'm not making light.
No,
oh, I'm sorry. They killed four. No, the one with the eye cut. No, she's
no,
killed
they're all
too.
Killed.
Oh, damn.
He killed everybody.
He killed them good.
He killed them thoroughly good. Tasha Yates, who is the daughter and the mother of the little four-year-old who was killed, swore at Anderson in court before leaving, yelling, "Who kills a baby? Who does that? On Judgment Day, I pray your heart is full of fear." She yelled at him.
What fear tastes like in a heart. Yeah. Hey, the guy, I got to make a comment.
Freaking nut job.
The absolute nut job. You know, they should kill his ass. Somebody would probably kill him in prison anyway. But last week when y'all did the story and I wasn't here about the dude from Houston on death row cutting out his own eyes and shit, you a bad motherfucker if you can gouge out your own eye. But now this guy cuts out the eye. They didn't say if he ate it or not. So they must have found it. I bet the eye tastes like fish, like sushi.
Gummy bears.
Yeah.
Is that your favorite story we did without you last week?
I liked a lot of them, but that one I had been keeping up with anyway. That's a bad dude.
How about my hillbilly hand fisherman?
Bigfoot was closing in on him because Bigfoot was there. Here we call it the Rougarou.
That's right.
The Rougarou is the Cajun Bigfoot. It's half man, half werewolf. So this dude saw the Rougarou. Y'all got to go back and listen to the episode. It's funny as fuck. I'm sorry.
Half man, half werewolf sounds a lot scarier than
the Rougarou is a real deal.
I mean, he didn't have a choice.
Yeah, I mean, he said, look, if it was you and I don't have to be fast. I just got to be faster than you.
That's it.
He made sure he was faster than him because he.
Oh, he made logical. He made logical choices, given the
Being the fact that Sasquatch was there.
Yeah.
I mean, but like
he's
you said,
go for the easy.
I don't
kill,
believe.
Right?
See, now this asshole in this story is from Oklahoma too, right? And so maybe they should have asked him about Sasquatch before he ate the heart. You know, the heart. Let me tell you something. The heart has because I do it on deer. The you have to take out the ventricles, right? The valves, the whatever the fuck you call this thing is the blood runs through. You got to get those out. And then you can fillet it open like that and cut it open. Hopefully he didn't try to serve it to him by just cutting it with the tough shit in it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they bucked up on him.
I eat artichoke hearts.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Those aren't nearly as big a problem as.
Well, probably not.
Probably not. Yeah. No valves in those.
But heart is good, but you can't freeze it. You got to eat it fresh. For real.
Huh.
That's how the Indians used to do when they killed buffalo.
What does it taste like?
It fucking tastes like steak. It's great.
It tastes like any other piece of
it? No, it doesn't. It has a more distinct, more like steak flavor, but for some reason you can't freeze it. So there you have it.
I wonder if the Liver King, y'all heard of the Liver King?
You ever ate boudin?
Yeah.
Full of liver. Boudin is mostly pork liver with a small amount of pork and rice.
Have you ate boudin, Mike?
Oh, but we're going to bless you.
We call that, where I came from, we call that foie gras.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I don't eat liver by itself.
I don't know that you would compare boudin and foie gras, but.
I don't eat the other rich people shit either. What's rich? Eggs, caviar. I don't like anything that tastes like fish. Sorry.
Yeah, go on. Caviar.
We've got a cold case story that I guess, starts out in Mississippi and ends up in Louisiana. So
yeah, this is interesting.
Woody going to call upon you for some expertise here. But a newborn girl was found inside of a garbage bag in a dumpster in Picayune, Mississippi in April of 1992. So 30 years ago, right?
Yeah.
The parents of that newborn have been arrested in connection with the baby girl's death. Inga Johansson Carrier and Andrew Carrier, both now 50, face charges of first-degree murder in the death of the child. According to the Louisiana State Police, the newborn's cause of death was perinatal asphyxia due to smothering. The case was classified as a homicide, but there wasn't enough evidence at the time to convict anyone. The Picayune Police Department and detectives with the Mississippi Bureau of Investigations decided to reopen the case in August of 2021. With the help of advanced technology, DNA profiles and fingerprints were developed from the preserved evidence. That's according to the Louisiana State Police.
Shout out to them for preserving it. Can't tell you how many cases I had and we go back and shit's got lost or whatever. That's a long time.
Yep.
So just think about 30-something years that baby's been, or that evidence, the bag and what have you, has been laid up somewhere in some dark corner of a room. And now with DNA, 91 DNA was almost unheard of, or 92.
Yep. So is that what's going on across the country now? Absolutely. With all these cold cases being reopened because of it?
Especially in the state of Louisiana. Governor Bobby Jindal, when I was with state police, I bodyguarded him for his inauguration, and that's the only thing he did because he fucked us the rest of the time in office. He didn't give us raises every year because he kept doing budget cuts. But the one thing he did that was positive was he allocated all kinds of funding for new DNA techs in the lab, and they started running stuff. When I took DNA to the lab, I could have a rush letter from the governor and have somebody sitting in jail waiting on this shit to come back, and it would still take 3 or 4 months. So Jindal hired all these professionals, and shout out to him. I was supposed to be the speaker there May 9th for their convention at the state police headquarters, but I think KJ is going to get it. But he hired all these techs, and then they allocated the funding because that shit's not cheap. And now it's advanced a lot since that time. So what's happening is they're getting grant money to go in and test everything that's in the rooms. Now, it takes a while because you got shit 30 years, you know, some 50 years old, and you know, you got to find it, test it. And then now with all the genetic, the what do they call it, Jim? The family testing.
Yeah, DNA, the DNA.
Familiar DNA testing and all that. So I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, a wonderful, wonderful tool. And this is a horrible story. They need to go to murder fucking Bayou.
Well, through investigative means, detectives were able to identify the infant's parents.
There you
go. Which we already said, the 50-year-old Andrew Carrier and 50-year-old Inga Johansson Carrier, who were living in Louisiana at the time of the death, right, which is why the charges were brought there. So the charges bring closure to the child, and it also shows the development of processing DNA and where we are now versus where we were 30 years ago. These agencies can work together and can achieve a successful completion. That's Louisiana Police, State Police Trooper Kate Stiegel, talking about what was able to happen here. So not only were they able to bring this new technology, they were also able to work cross agencies and really cross states with the folks in Mississippi to make it
happen. Shout out for them for making it happen. But geographically, Picayune is not far. It's just not really far at all across the Louisiana state line from like the Slidell area. So, but somebody must have brought it to their attention, and whoever that, hats off to you, to a sweet baby, rest in peace. All right, so y'all, I'm gonna take you to another one. Now, you don't want to talk about some effed up stuff, okay? You know, go to ZocDoc.com. Find you a good doctor, lots of good reviews and everything for whatever ails you or whatever you may need. I can assure you this asshole that I'm going to tell you about, this doctor, is not on ZocDoc.com. And remember, use code RRC. But So there was a resident doctor who was training in family medicine, and he was found to have an alleged, that's our favorite word on the show, huge cache of child porn. But he also allegedly recorded children as young as 6 years old using a camera hidden in a bracelet as he examined them. Dr. Bradford David Farrick, 32 years old, of Amherst, Massachusetts, was ordered held without bail on Tuesday. He had been completing his residency at Bay State Franklin Family Medicine Center since last summer. The U.S. attorney comes out and says, today we allege that this doctor, who held a position of trust with access to children, maintained child sexual abuse material. All right. So the first incident that led to the discovery of Farrick's alleged depravity came when police reviewed three cyber tests from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. None of y'all tell you about that. That is a beautiful group. They go, they just basically troll online for anybody that, you know, has keywords about children or young kids naked and shit like that. So they, what they do, that center, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and their algorithm, however they figure it out, and I've had a lot of cases I worked with them, so they take that tip and they turn it over, right, for it to be investigated. So it suggested a Google account was uploading child pornography. Files had been uploaded to an IP address in Syracuse, New York area, and Farrick was attending the University of New York, Upstate Medical University there. More tips reportedly found illicit material uploaded at an IP address connected to Farrick's parents' home. Investigators searching the home found 61 electronic devices, including hidden camera systems and memory cards holding thousands of images and videos purportedly showing child pornography. Y'all, they also found, like I said, numerous hidden camera devices. They found one in the bathroom of a house belonging to Farrick's relatives, who have two toddlers. The camera was designed to be masqueraded as a wall outlet. The box for the camera was found at the parents' house, right? So he, you know, you can get all this shit on spycam.com, whatever. I have a lot of for the business stuff I used to do. So you can get an electrical outlet, go in and swap it out with the one that's there, but it's got a camera, but this jackass doesn't throw the box away. Anyway, he's just absolutely a monster, and they are going to give him prison justice. And, I mean, you know, you go to the bathroom, you like to think that somebody doesn't have a spy cam on you, but two toddlers? I mean, you had to get into these people's home. You knew they had two toddlers. You had to order that camera. Not to mention all the shit they found him with and everything else. And he's a doctor examining kids with a bracelet on with a camera. That is the devil. Period.
I want to throw up hearing, right, hearing that.
That motherfucker needs
that's,
to get,
he so
needs
what to will, about you. What, that life in prison for that? What's shit, the worst?
I don't know what it is in Massachusetts. Hopefully, well, he's going to die in prison. In Louisiana, it would be the possession of the porn, just one image is 2 years for having it and 2 years for, okay. So like if I have child porn and I receive it, that's 2 years. If I send it out, somebody else, that's 2 years. If you got 400 something images, you do the math. But
that's secretly Louisiana, yeah, but not Massachusetts.
Yeah, right. But secretly recording people, I don't give a shit. This dude, he's never going to have a jury trial unless they're going to give him 500 years anyway, because you put him in front of that jury or tell this case in front of the jury where you're a doctor, right? That's why I said this fucker wasn't on ZocDoc.com. You're a doctor and you're 32 years old. And you're filming now. He works at a kid's clinic. And can you get your kid undressed, please? And I can see him in his Superman underwear or whatever and doing it. Come on, man. That dude.
And, I mean, as sick as this guy obviously was, how could no one around him through through med school, through residency, all of these things he had to, how could nobody figure out what the heck was wrong?
Tell you why. We'll go back to Denny Perkins in this parish that I worked with every day and everything else. They are, there's two types of child offenders like this. What we call preferential is one profile, and situational, okay? Situational, the profile shows that's like the ice cream man riding around the neighborhood, snatches kids, because situational, right? They don't think their crime's out ahead of time. They're not very intelligent or whatever. This guy, obviously, was preferential. He had a certain age group he liked to offend against. He groomed his victims or uses his position and power authority as their doctor to get them in and do that stuff. So he puts on, you know, we all wear masks, right? Sometimes, right? But this fucker was wearing a mask every day. And he, you don't just start at 32 years old. He's been doing this forever.
Right.
Yeah. Fuck him. Murder by you.
Gross.
I wish they put him in a cell with your business.
He might.
Yes. That would be good.
Okay, so we're moving on to our On This Day in Crime segment, and this is March 22nd, and we're going to bring you back to some of the most historic crimes that have taken place on that day. And in 1956, Martin Luther King Jr. was convicted for violating anti-boycott laws in Alabama. He had organized a boycott of the Montgomery City buses.
Yeah, I remember.
Of course, that's a, that was a big day in history.
Yeah, I wasn't alive, but I remember the story. Yeah.
In 1991, Pamela Smart was convicted of the murder of her husband, Gregory Smart. She conspired with her 16-year-old student, William Flynn, and his three friends.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember this.
Yes, I remember that.
She was putting the shit business on the students and got the students to kill her husband.
And if you're curious whether she's still alive, she is. She's serving a life sentence for
must be an easy
that conviction.
Prison.
Yeah. 1995, Colin Ferguson is sentenced to life in prison for the murder of six people and for injuring 19 more on the Long Island Railroad.
Remember this, too. This is like one of the first mass shootings that I remember.
I, for quite a few years, took the LIRR, as they call it, from Long Island into Penn Station in New York City. I kind of remember this. What year is 95?
95.
Well, it was in 93, but he was convicted in 95.
So I was 23 years old. It would have been when before Fox News was out, CNN was out or whatever, but I remember it. I just remember thinking, holy shit, you know, they, you're locked inside a train like that. It's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah. 2017, a series of shootings known as the Schofield Rothschild shootings take place in Manhattan County, Wisconsin. The man who committed the shootings, Mr. Vang, had been in a dispute with his wife before shooting two of her coworkers, her lawyer, and a police officer. He died after he was shot in the police standoff. Sarah's Law in Wisconsin was passed as a result of that crime.
Horrible crime. Shitty guy. He went to Murder Bayou. Shout out to my people in Wisconsin. Love all y'all. I'll see you at the end of April when I come to our cabin.
And our girl doing some time up in Wisconsin.
Yes, right yes. Now. I'm going to go see Shabizzle. Make Are a side you? Trip. Yeah. I'm going to send her some JPay money. JPay. What? They call it something else now. You just put money on books back then. Now you can do it electronically. I'm not telling you I've been researching how to do it, but maybe I have.
I want to see her new Hannibal Lecter mask that they're making her wear.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Either of you guys on TikTok?
So funny you should mention that. I got sent a Real Life for Crime has a TikTok thing with some pretty funny shit on it. Never done the post myself, but I got sent one by a lady who has over 500,000 followers this week, and she did a whole TikTok about Woody Overton in Real Life for Crime.
She did. So Xi Jinping's probably looking at that right now.
Probably so.
Trying to
I'm gonna go on her TikTok.
Decide where what China's gonna do about you, Woody.
That's the one thing. Even my most hardcore friends have never listened to Real Life of Crime and don't do the internet shit. They all about that TikTok. I need to watch it more, evidently.
It's crazy. Well, if you guys were on TikTok, you might know about a TikToker, an influencer by the name of Taylor Frankie Paul. No?
Man, okay. Woman.
Well,
Taylor can be a guy's name.
She's Paul a woman. She's a woman. Well, Taylor was arrested for alleged domestic violence in Utah, but I want to give you a little bit of a background here and tell you what's happening since she was released. Okay, so Taylor Frankie Paul is a popular Mormon mommy TikToker known for her, quote, soft swinging lifestyle. Mm. She's been arrested. She was arrested for alleged domestic violence in Utah. Officers arrested Paul, she's 28, last month after responding to a call at about 11 p.m. on a Friday night. She faces misdemeanor charges of assault, criminal mischief, and commission of domestic violence in the presence of a child. That's all according to the Harriman, Utah Police Department. The evidence also suggests that during the incident, Ms. Paul's minor child was injured by an action of Ms. Paul. Mm. We don't know exactly what that action was. I do suggest that everybody go and take a look on TikTok or just Google Taylor Frankie Paul.
We'll post it on the Facebook.
You will get some of the photos that we've got.
Cancel that, y'all. Go to Real Life Real Crime Daily's Facebook page.
There you go. We're going to have a picture.
Chapman will make sure the love is there.
Okay, there you go.
Maybe the kid got hit in the face with a boobie.
Well, okay. So
it's not impossible.
So Paul was booked in Harriman and released pending her court date. Her status as a social media influencer has no bearing or impact on the investigation or outcome of the case, according to the Harriman Police Department. I don't know why.
Except we wouldn't be talking about it.
Well, it would. Taylor shares two children with her ex-husband, whose name is Tate Paul, with whom she announced her divorce last May in a live stream while opening up about their soft swinging lifestyle.
I really need to know what that means.
And implicating some other TikTok influencers were involved. So I guess
they were involved in the soft swinging, I'll say.
Yes.
I would assume soft swinging is what? I know what swinging is.
You don't screw. You actually just like make out and stuff. And
so maybe it's like exhibitionists. You just do it in front of each other?
No, you don't do it at all. Soft swinging's like kissing and stuff.
Well, I understand that you're not.
But no penetration.
I think you get several bases there.
Oh, so you're because swinging means you're with their spouse. Yeah. You're just not doing.
Yeah, it's what our girlfriend from the Laverne Police Department in Tennessee was.
But she did it with everybody.
She didn't want a soft swing. She wanted a hard swing. But if you remember, her husband was uncomfortable with the hard swing. And
yeah, okay.
And so anyway.
I'm clear now.
Okay, almost.
Thank you.
Almost presented a on that story today.
If
but
y'all have we'll comments put the, about saw swinging,
anyway, here let me explain what's going on with Taylor. So her arrangement, Taylor's arrangement with her ex was that they wouldn't go all the way. So they were, again, soft swinging. But she admitted that she did step out of the agreement. So
she busted the rules and soft
swing. Soft went to a hard swing. And it went to a hard swing with her new boyfriend, a gentleman by the name of Dakota Mortensen. She introduced him in a video back in July and revealed him as the guy she, quote unquote, cheated with.
Yeah.
So Taylor is now resuming her regularly scheduled TikTok content following last month's arrest. And I caught a little bit of Taylor. I caught a little bit of a recent post of Taylor's.
How'd that work out for you?
Well,
is it spank bank material?
Let's just say that there's not a lot of redeeming value to this content other than
after today, she's going to be worldwide famous because we'll be sponsored on RC Daily.
Yeah. So, So you can go and watch that. In that,
is there nudity in it?
In the video, no, there's no nudity.
You sound disappointed.
But Mike, in the video, Paula gets out of bed with Mortensen. She brushes her teeth. She gets dressed. She shaves her armpit. She has breakfast with her morning medication and heads off to the gym with her beau before getting groceries at Trader Joe's. It's all very Americana, except for the painted-on outfit she's wearing.
How many minutes of your life did you waste on that?
It's the good thing about TikTok is these are not long videos. Okay. According to the Salt Lake County District Court records, Taylor entered a plea of not guilty during her initial court appearance on March 1st. She since updated her Instagram followers that she's working on, quote, healing and, quote, therapy amid this, quote, very difficult time. The last few weeks have been the hardest weeks of my life, she wrote on her Instagram story.
That's because she busted the rules.
I want to thank all of those who have been by my side, those who reached out, and the strangers that stopped to hug me. I've silently been working on healing therapy, a blessing, starting classes, and I got the antidepressants to help me during this time. Well, it's good that she got the meds on top of that. I'm starting to feel progress and will be back to work soon. Again, thank you for those who have given me grace at this difficult time.
What kind of
time.
Job she have?
A pretrial protective order for Mortensen, that's the boyfriend, was denied at his request according to court docs, but one was entered on behalf of the children. Meanwhile, Paul is ordered not to consume alcohol. So she's been cut off.
What's going on up there with the Mormons, man? Those are my people. I lived in Salt Lake City. You had to go to an alcohol store. You had to get
– you have to be a member, yeah.
Yeah, you have to be a member.
And if you're not LDS, that's difficult. On Friday, the state removed the outstanding protective order with some stipulations, including that Paul cannot be in the presence of Mortensen and her children at the same time. This goes back to the – injury that we don't really know about that happened during
Boobie in the head.
So yeah, she's not allowed to discuss the case with the kids while it is.
But she can discuss on TikTok.
Progress. She's not discussing the case on TikTok, but she's just working at getting herself back out there and reuniting with her adoring friends who.
Well, inquiring minds want to know what kind of job she has.
So there you go. That's the story of soft swinging and occasionally hard swinging TikToker Taylor Frankie Paul.
Now I know what soft swinging means. All right. Well, there you go. So here we go to another one. And this one, I won't be laughing at. Shout out to the district attorney, a pretty darn good friend of mine. I'm known for 25 plus years, Scott Perilou. In the 21st Judicial, y'all, this story comes out, and I know we've had a lot of interest in it. It's a freaking sad story. And but we're going to get into it. And I know Jim's got some things he wants to say, and I have some things I want to say. But in Amite, Louisiana, which is about 15 miles north of Hammond, probably an hour or so away from where I'm at now, Ryan Clark, 34, was sentenced to 35 years in prison and must undergo chemical castration after being convicted of second-degree rape and two counts of molestation of a juvenile. And he was convicted, y'all, after a confidential source came forward and told the cops about his sexual relationships he was having with a child for more than a year. And there's also a possible second victim. So my boy, 21st Judicial District Attorney Scott Perilou, announced the sentencing Tuesday. The first 25 years of Clark's sentence will be served without benefits, meaning he can't get out and shit, y'all. But he will receive credit for time served. Along with jail time, Clark will agree to make no contact with the victims, which is standard, register as a sex offender for life, which is standard, forfeit all parental rights, standard. But what's not standard is when he is released, he will be subject to chemical castration. Clark pleaded guilty to charges of second-degree rape when the victim is prevented from resisting due to force or threats, two counts of molestation of a juvenile under 13 and sexual battery. Now, chemical castration, I never really knew the process. The master of all researchers, Jim Chapman, has done it. But I want to throw this out. Sex is 99.9% mental. And I one time had an 83-year-old priest that got a confession out of, and he told me everything. And he said, "Woody, I'm 83, but I'm not dead." He said, "I can't rape him anymore, but I rape him every day in my mind."
But was he chemically castrated?
I don't know. I think his dick was dead.
Okay, well, let me tell you what chemical castration is. And first of all, there's two types. There is surgical castration, which is where they basically go in and they remove the gonads.
Balls.
The balls for those unmedically trained. Yeah. And then there's chemical castration, where they basically use drugs, and these drugs cause certain reactions in the body. Now, when you use them on male folks, they can reduce the sex drive, they reduce the sexual fantasies, and they reduce the capacity for sexual arousal. So not only can you get it up, you don't even have the desire to get it up.
So it helps mentally?
It reduces the even desire to want to have sex.
On the polygraph, part of the a big deal in Louisiana doesn't use it, but for most states, if you get released as a sex offender, you have to go through intense three-part, where they monitor you. One is your probation officer, one is a caseworker, and the third is a polygraphist, and you have to be tested. Are you offending mentally? Have you been around any kids? Whatever. But they have a test where they put their dick to like a Doppler radar, and they show them child porn images. I'm serious. They show them child porn images to see if they get aroused.
Yep.
You get aroused, you get swung back to the jail cell.
So this pill will supposedly it and I'm sure it works, it takes away even the desire to want to have sex. If for some reason it doesn't work, it also takes away your ability to even get it up, even if you wanted to. Females, the effects are similar, but the drugs also deflate the breast glands and expand the size of the nipple.
Really?
Yep.
Has any female ever had it done? I guess so.
They got female rapists.
Well, shit, Christina Constance just got it. I'm about to do an episode on her, but she needs that shit.
There you go.
I have to admit, I'm a little bit disappointed.
Well,
because it just sounds so much better, chemical castration, than what it actually. Like, I'm picturing you're taking a quart of antifreeze and pouring it on the guy's unit.
Yeah.
Because there should be some pain involved.
I agree. But the thing is, even if they chop it off, it doesn't matter. They still mentally offend. Now, the only thing, I don't know, unless they hook the dick to a radar and they give them this castration and showing the pictures, maybe that's how they prove that it helps turn down the mind.
Possibly.
The mind is the biggest sexual organ you have.
Possibly, and the first use of the chemical castration surprised me. It was 1944, really? The first time it was used. So it's been used for...
It was used on Bill Clinton in 1996, wasn't it?
Ask Monica Lewinsky. That's why he used a cigar. So that's my problem. If it doesn't turn off the brain, they can still use the fingers, the tongue, the nose, the ears, whatever you want to use.
Right. Well, it supposedly turns off the brain, so I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah, I move towards, I vote for using actual, like,
so whatever company makes that drug, if you'd like to sponsor us, we'll have Woody try it out.
Hey, how do you know I'm not already trying it? That's why I was sick last week.
My wife will submit me for the trial.
We're going to tell you about a shocking situation that happened at the Baton Rouge General Hospital, which is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
My peeps over there.
Yep. A nurse has filed charges after a patient threw hot coffee on her and attacked her. Now, the patient had taken the lid off a coffee cup, set it on the table, and the nurse approached her to take the coffee cup away, thinking the patient was going to pour it on the floor. This was like a mental patient. The patient threw the hot coffee on the nurse and grabbed her by the hair, pinning her beneath the patient. The patient had such a tight grip on the nurse's hair that some of her hair was pulled out at the root. Another nurse stepped in to help her coworker, but neither nurse could get free of the patient. The incident occurred in the ICU area of the hospital, which is locked and secured, so the nurses could not call for help. A maintenance man eventually saw the attack and called in security. The maintenance man restrained the patient, freed the nurses, and by the time security arrived, the three had the patient secured. Now, Baton Rouge General officials say they have a zero-tolerance policy when it comes to patients hurting any member of staff. And the nurse did have the option to press charges, which she did, for assault.
Good for her.
Now, Baton Rouge General Police responded when she wanted to press charges, and they took down the report. And the Baton Rouge General does confirm that the patient still remains a patient at the hospital. Meanwhile, the nurse did suffer moderate physical injuries, including scratches and cuts, and was treated by the Baton Rouge General Health Team at the hospital.
Hey, let me tell you something. There's nothing moderate about having your hair ripped out by the fucking roots. That shit hurts, which also tells me this patient is a female, not male. They never said that. But females get a handful of that hair when they go to town. You ever watch two females fight? 9 times out of 10, they can get a handful of hair and rip it out. I'm sure they must have just handcuffed her to the bed after that.
Oh, or yeah. They probably gave her a little shot of something.
Yeah.
A little feel good.
Yeah, well.
A little Thorazine for the ride home.
To them, and shout out to the maintenance man for helping them. And they're really good people. I'm going to give a shout out actually to all docs, especially the ones on ZocDoc.com.
And nurses.
And nurses too, because I guess 13 years ago today, I was incapacitated in the hospital. I was never supposed to walk, talk, or work, or do anything again. Technically, I was going to be a vegetable, but they got shit fixed. So then, and here we are. But I was in the hospital for like 3 weeks.
We thank y'all for listening to this episode, and yes. please continue to share these episodes. Tell people about it on social media. It is how we grow here.
Yes, and we are growing phenomenally, and it's love. It's all because of y'all. Thank you so much. We're going to bring you more and more. I mean, we're never going to run out of crime stories, right? We're going to bring you more and more. And we know y'all are enjoying it. Please continue to comment, like Mike said, on everything so we can help bring you a better show. And we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
And for Real Life, Real Crime Daily, peace.
Shabusiness.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.